Hello and welcome to Nightcap with Jim. I'm the titular Jim. Tonight we will be continuing on discussing the Rookie, SEAL Team, and SWAT Episode 3s. For more content you may enjoy, please check out our Morning Mangami podcast and our other social media content at Mangami Players across all the different social medias. Let's get into it. Alright, so we begin with the Rookie, Episode 3, Season 2. Just another great episode. Very interesting. As with all these shows, they're definitely stepping into new ground, which is always a lot of fun. Because you know, it's great when you find a show that just does something really well, and they keep doing that. But the great thing about these three shows is that they like to push the boundaries and like to try new things. One of the great things about this episode it was part of the ABC cast from the past kind of extravaganza that they had. And that was just like a bunch of shows. We're having all these great cast members from these old shows. So like, I forget which show it was, but they had, you know, a bunch of the cast members from Cheers, stuff like that. So with The Rookie, what we got was Seamus Dever and John Huertas, who you might remember from a little TV show called Castle that was also starring Nathan Fillion. And a lot of fun to see Nathan Fillion as Nolan. But Nathan Fillion working with these two actors in a very diametrically opposed way than they had for, you know, the 8 or 9 years they were on Castle together. Because Castle, you know, like, yeah, Castle, you know, every once in a while he got to have a badass moment. But, you know, Seamus and John, they were the cops, you know, and John Huertas' character, especially, you know, was ex-Special Forces before he became a cop. So, you know, like, they were the badasses for the most part. But this show, you know, even though John Huertas' character is who he is, and I'm not going to give anything away, but, you know, still, it's like Nolan's the guy. He's like Nathan Fillion's the one with the gun now. And it was just really cool to see these two interact in such a different way. It's always a lot of fun, I think, when you have actors who work with each other, you know, on non-sequel stuff. So, like, they have different characters and have a different way, you know, like, and their characters interact in different ways and stuff. So that's always just a lot of fun. Allie Larder's back, so that leads me to believe that her little, you know, fling that she and Nolan had when they were in college, you know, sparks might start flying again with that. So it looks like we're setting up a potential love triangle drama sort of a situation going on, which I'm not hating that. still haven't introduced who there is going to be replacing Officer Talia Bishop full-time. Still pissed off about that. Really want to know the full story, because I really miss her. But the way that they're working around it is great. You know, he's, like I've been saying, Nolan's pretty much doing it's a partner of the week kind of thing. So, you know, he was with Gray and his girlfriend Jessica, who's the GHS woman in episode 1. Episode 2, he was with that night detective, I think they called it, or whatever. Now he's with Lopez, who was, you know, Jackson's training officer. So, just a lot of interesting dynamics going on, character dynamics and stuff like that. So, you know, just getting to see, you know, all these characters getting to spend more time with different, you know, characters that, you know, are in, like, every episode, but they don't usually get to spend a lot of time together. So that's a lot of fun. That's pretty much it for that update. Gonna give this one a 9 out of 10. Some really great action drama sequences and stuff like that. Some great comedy, some really funny moments. Yeah, just all around, it's still solid. It's not getting any worse. Like, I'll be honest, these episodes probably aren't going to be too exciting, you know, because, like, these are three really good shows. So it's like, the only way it's going to, like, really be, like, oh my god, a revelation is, like, if one of these shows just supremely screws something up. Or, you know, when they eventually get mid-season and it's like, oh, they just did that? What? But yeah, anyway, really solid episode. Can't wait to see the episode for this coming Sunday. So make sure you tune in for The Rookie on Sundays. on ABC. Okay, so the segments are going to be a little ordered differently a little bit because I've been recording the segments and placing them in the order in which I watched the particular episodes. So normally it goes Rookie, SEAL Team, SWAT. This time I did SWAT first, and I'll get to that in the SEAL Team segment, why that happened. But anyway, Episode 3, Season 3 of SWAT, really cool. I'm going to have a lot more to say about this particular show because they're changing things up too. Because the Captain character, Captain Cortez, from Seasons 1 and 2 has left the show. I'm not sure why. I'll have to figure out what the deal is with that. But they're bringing in, you know, I mentioned her last week, and in the first week, this Lieutenant Lynch character from Hollywood Division. And I mentioned last week that she's going to be bringing a very new, interesting dynamic to the show because she's there to, you know, have ideas and to, you know, change up how SWAT works. And she didn't waste any time. She goes, you know, right off the bat, she's got a mission for SWAT that's very proactive, but because it's the way it is, it's very dangerous of an operation to try and pull off. Because the reason that SWAT does the way operates the way that it does is that they have all the answers that they need, at least that's the idea, before they go into a situation. So, you know, they have all the building like if they're doing a raid on a building, they have the blueprints of that building, all, you know, every single entrance, exit, hallway, you know, basically a quick memorization of the thing so that they, you know, if they need to, you know, they have all the answers that they have so that if all of a sudden a new question arises, then they have the freedom and ability to improvise because they're so well prepared for any eventuality to pop up. And that's why they train so often and so hard and, you know, with all these different training scenarios is so that, you know, they could be doing a hostage rescue and all of a sudden it turns into something totally different. But they've run that scenario, so they know exactly, you know, it could be, a raid on a drug house that turns into a hostage scenario. But they know because they train for all these different crazy eventualities so that, you know, when something intense happens. And, you know, this Lieutenant Lynch character sees this as a way for them to be more proactive, do a more proactive policing style instead of, you know, sit back, wait, gather all of the intel that they can possibly squeeze, you know, out of a source and, you know, and then, you know, initiate their assault. Instead, she wants them to rely more on that quick thinking improvisational style that they, you know, really try to avoid at every cost because it can get so dangerous. And this operation is no exception to that. So it's a pretty intense episode, which is great because, you know, I love that stuff. It is very interesting. Like, I like that they're going this way and introducing this new character that's implementing these new procedural procedural and operational objectives that she wants to do, but I don't necessarily agree with her, you know. Like, just because these guys can do a thing doesn't mean that necessarily they should, because, you know, eventually you're not, you know, one of these guys' number is going to come up on one of these, you know, really high risk jobs that she wants these guys to do, and she's like, oh, you guys can handle it, and there's going to come a job where they can't handle it because they don't have the information that they need, and, you know, they're not prepared for this scenario that has been sprung upon them because they haven't been training for it, you know. And it's not like, you know, it could be anything, you know, like these guys could be going on a raid and then they could, I mean, because it's a TV show, so eventually it's going to get really crazy. So, like, she could have these guys on a job, like, oh, okay, smash and grab on this drug house, and then oh, we got some intel from this. Let's follow these guys and see what's going on with them. Then they get halfway across town, and it's like, okay, we're going to raid this spot now. And then in the basement, there's a bomb. You know what I mean? Like these, like something like that's going to happen where these guys are like, we can't, what? No, this is, we're totally screwed. And bomb's going to explode and half the team's going to die. Which, I mean, either that's where they're going to go with it, the makers of the show, or, you know, it's going to get like going to get to the mid-season and Hondo's just going to lose his shit and just be like, what do you think you're doing? Like one of the team members is just going to get like really, like end up in the hospital or something like that. And he's just going to be like, you're done. This is done. You're out. Like, you know what I mean? So it's pretty exciting to see what's going to happen with this new character and this new relationship, and how that all plays out. All right, so I'm going to rate this one. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. A 9 out of 10. Excuse me. 8. It was an 8. Yeah, sorry. 8 out of 10 for this. Just because, you know, I'm just docking at points just because I don't agree with the character. Now, maybe I shouldn't dock at points for that, so I won't. I'll give it a 9. It just wasn't perfect, you know what I mean? Like, if it's 10, then that's a perfect episode. Just because it's not, like, I don't have, like, complaints or anything like that about, like, the technical aspects or anything like that, doesn't necessarily mean it's a perfect episode. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's got to be like the high, this pinnacle of excellence in television. So that's how my rating system works. I probably should explain that. But yeah, so I'm going to give it a 9, just because, you know, really solid. So good week this week for the shows, because SEAL Team's also a 9. So pretty good week. So stick around and we'll be right back to talk about SEAL Team. All right, and now to finish off, we're going to be talking about SEAL Team. Once again, another excellent episode of television. SEAL Team just always brings the thunder. Pretty interesting. So it was my understanding that all three of these first episodes were all going to be shot in Serbia. Now, I don't know if Serbia, because they're not in Serbia, the team. They come home and then they spin up on a mission in Azerbaijan. So I'm not sure if they just substituted Serbia for Azerbaijan, or what, or if I was just misinformed and they shot the Azerbaijan sequence somewhere else. Anyway, just a little, like, sort of, not necessarily a correction, but like, I guess an update or whatever on the information. But anyway, great episode. Super great. Seeing Jason interact with his daughter under this new context of circumstances is really, really interesting. Like, she's become the grown-up now. Like, he's just living in this, you know, crap little apartment that's basically one room. And he just doesn't care, you know what I mean? He sleeps with, like, a little mattress on the floor, because it's just, quote, where he hangs his head. And, you know, he just waits there to get spun up on the next mission. So, you know, it's interesting what they're putting Jason through in this new season. And then some of the stuff that's going on. So, like, Bravo 2, the second in charge of Bravo Team, he's been working to become a Master Chief, which is the same rank that Jason is. And SEAL Teams, you know, they don't have two Master Chiefs on the same team. So, you know, and then he has this idea like, oh, hey, why don't I just skip right over Master Chief and I'll go to Warrant Officer, get a commission. And I think that this is a pretty dick move on Ray's part, Bravo 2, because to stay on the team, you know, and, quote, not let the team down, he's going to bump in rank over the team leader, and I don't know what that's going to mean for the dynamic of the squad, you know, like, I have, it's confusing to me. Like, I mean, God love Ray, but, like, for real, though, like, because either you're going to take his team away from him, which is bullshit, or you're going to be a warrant officer taking orders from a master chief, from an NCO, a non-commissioned officer. Now, that has happened in units like MACV SOG, where, you know, it wasn't necessarily your rank, but it was, you know, who had the most experience would be the team leader, and then, you know, the person higher in rank could still pull rank, you know, but the team leader was a team leader and rank didn't matter. But still, though, I mean, like, even if that is the case, like, it's not going to take long before Ray's like, hey, I'm the higher rank here, man. Like, I'm pulling rank and we're going to do it this way. And Jason Hayes is just going to lose his mind about this, you know? And so they're setting up a very another potential team breaking situation, which it's always great to have to seed the sows of conflict, as it were, because it gives you more drama. But, you know, I really can't wait for them to just like lock it. Like, I really hope season four, it's just like locked down. Like, nobody's personal life is really getting in the way too much. And, you know, just concentrate on the job, which would be great because, you know, the show does personal drama incredibly well. And it's very exciting from a human emotional perspective. And I love that stuff, but, you know, I really want to see this show where everybody's personal lives are squared away and they can focus on the job without having to worry about the repercussions of their personal stuff spilling over into work. You know, just give me one season like that, season four. Just give me season four just like that, where everything's cool. And that, because then if you do that, then these guys can operate on some higher plane and just be like, you know, just like, oh no, right now we are the best special operations team in the entire world. Like, not in the Navy, you know, not in SEALs, you know, not special ops. We're the best team in the world, period. You know what I mean? Because if everybody's stuff is locked down and squared away, then it's like they can just be like, okay, we're gonna do this, and then we're gonna do that, and then we're gonna do these three things here, even though we probably shouldn't, but we can because we're so on point that we can pull off anything. You know what I mean? Because that can then set them up for something really intense down the line, you know, where they get on their deployment and then they're just like, we're just kicking ass and taking names like nobody's business, and then they start getting a little cocky and then, you know. But anyway, just another great episode. Really intense stuff with the action sequence in this one, and just loving it. Just loving it. Now, I said I would explain why I did. SW I watched SWAT first instead of SEAL Team. So with SWAT and SEAL Team, I just went and bought the entire season, the season package, on YouTube. And the way that it works is if you buy the season package on, you know, iTunes or YouTube or anything like that, and the same thing goes with Hulu, but it's just like part of your plan. So like that's how I watch The Rookie is on Hulu. And so every week, the day after the episode airs, it should be uploaded to the new site. So on Mondays I can watch The Rookie, Thursdays I can watch SWAT and SEAL Team on YouTube. Whoever it was that was supposed to upload the episode, like, I don't know if it was somebody on the CBS team who did not get the like the file up the upload file to YouTube. I don't know if the YouTube guy is, you know, just was like passed out drunk or something like that, and, you know, forgot to do it, and then just still has forgot to do it because the episode still isn't up on YouTube as far as I know. I checked yesterday, it wasn't up. So I had to go and buy the damn episode again from iTunes. And I gotta tell you, I'm really pissed about this. This is absolutely unacceptable to me. You know, I paid for a thing. I expect that thing to be there when it's supposed to be. You know what I mean? So if any of you guys know anybody at CBS or at YouTube, please feel free to tell them that Jim, excuse me, my name's not James, it's Jim. That Jim from Nightcap with Jim has got a frickin' bone to pick with whoever it is that's responsible for this, because it's absolute nonsense. You know what I'm saying? Like, SWAT, that episode was there, no problem. And by the way, SWAT's on the same damn network as SEAL Team on CBS. So I'm thinking it wasn't CBS that screwed up. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking it, like, the YouTube guy, there's two different YouTube guys. Or I don't know, like maybe the guy's trying to spite me or something. I don't understand. And it's okay. Hang on, just calm down. It made me angry, okay? Because if this episode doesn't show up within the next couple of days, especially by Wednesday when the next episode airs, and that episode doesn't show up, it's like I gotta buy the whole thing over again, and and that's just gonna just make me so infuriated and angry. Because it's not that hard, you know what I mean? Like, this has never happened before, by the way. In all the time I've been buying stuff on YouTube, this has never happened once. You know what I mean? So I just don't know what's going on, and it's driving me insane because I just want to watch my stories. You know what I mean? I just want to watch my stories. All right, but anyway, in conclusion, great season, great episode three, season three of SEAL Team. giving it a 9. Like I said, it's been a good week for these three shows. They've been doing really good. Just excellent stuff all the way around the block, just kicking ass. Kicking total ass. Loving it. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I hope you're liking the series. It's given me a lot of chances to put out a lot of great content for you guys. So if you go to our YouTube channel, you can watch the entirety of season one of Batman the Telltale series that I did for you this week. All five of those episodes are out now and available to watch. They're really good. I don't know if you will like my particular style in presenting them to you, but I think they're really great. I think they're really cool. The way I did it was I didn't want to talk over any of the action, the scenes, because I wanted you to experience the story with me. And so basically, I just comment on it like, "Damn, what? That was pretty crazy. Oh no, you didn't." Stuff like that. but I think because, because again, I was experiencing this game for the first time as well while I was streaming these episodes. So that's the other thing. I just wanted to keep my mouth shut and absorb the content just like you, the audience member, would. So please go check those out. If you like them, let us know because we want to hear that feedback from you guys. Let us know what you think we're doing right, what you think we're doing wrong. We want to get that fan interaction going a lot more hardcore because we want to know what you guys think because we love you guys, I can speak for Heath in this. We love you guys for listening to our stuff and watching our stuff and all that stuff. So anyway, yeah, thank you again so much for listening. Thank you for stopping by for a nightcap. Be sure to tune in to ABC on Sundays and AB and CBS on Wednesdays for The Rookie, SWAT, and SEAL Team. Thank you once more so much for listening. Have yourself a great night.
The Nightcap with Jim podcast is a Mungami production, hosted by James Smith, produced by Heath LeBombard and James Smith. For more Mungami content, visit Mungami players all across the social medias.